Welcome to Voices Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm the founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation in Seattle, and also the host of the Voice of Women radio show. I have that on Blog Talk Radio, and right now I'm doing Zoom calls, video calls on my YouTube channel to talk to women in my life who are just what's going on in their life dealing with this COVID-19 and our change to living and staying at home and all that. So today I have Reverend Savannah Riker with me. She is the new assistant minister at Amazing Grace Spiritual Center in Seattle, Washington, and just joined us. Let's see, when did you move here, Savannah?
It's been about 2 months.
2 months and had to move in to stay at home.
Yeah.
So you're kind of, you know, alone in this place and, you know, just starting to meet people at the church, and you're probably most of your friends are in San Francisco area. And so it's kind of a unique situation for you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and what you've been doing. And she actually, I want to point out, she's like the youngest minister in the Center for Spiritual Living churches around in the United States. So.
Yeah, and globally. So I started a spiritual path at 16, quite young. And I just found that the spiritual teachings of ancient, you know, new thought and wisdom was relevant to me. We call it the science mind teaching. And I just, you know, followed the bouncing ball of my life, of just the signs that were there that led me into becoming a spiritual practitioner at quite a young age. And then I got the call to go into ministry around the age of 25. And so between then and now, I've done tons of travel, spent a lot of time with various global communities within our Centers for Spiritual Living organization. I've worked in the movement on a global scale with the organization as like a youth spokesperson for many years. And then I shifted my attention to a staff minister in Oakland, California for about 6 years. My family, they all live in Colorado, so I kind of got a start in one of our biggest New Thought churches, Mile High Church, in Denver, Colorado. And so, you know, the last 6 years have been really awesome. I've had a chance to speak and teach as a minister, both locally and internationally. And I think some of the most pivotal moments of my life over the last 5 to 6 years would be I spent some time in Egypt after the Arab Spring. I was there post-revolution, so I got to really look at the humanity aspect and divinity and where that all intersects within our own, you know, teaching. And then I had the opportunity to do some work with Science Mind magazine, which is also really exciting. And so I landed here in Seattle maybe 2 months ago, as you said, assistant minister of Amazing Grace Spiritual Center. And it's just been interesting, to say the least, to adjust to, I mean, I am an introvert, so that helps, but to adjust to a new place, new life, it's kind of like a new beginning in an even bigger way. So, yeah, so I've got my own business as well, Savannah Noel Ministries, and I'm also supporting and involved in Amazing Grace.
Yeah, that's great. Tell us a little more about the Savannah Ministries.
Yeah, so Savannah Noel Ministries, it's my first and middle name, is basically my own thing. I am teaching and speaking mostly online. Obviously now it's all online, but leading retreats internationally, and I would be offering more classes right now, but I think people are a little they're in just an interesting space, you know, around commitment to a long-term thing. So I'm doing this event right now called Savvy Chats. It's like just a conversation with me. My nickname is Savvy. So Savvy Chats, an interactive Zoom gathering for people all over, whoever wants to join the call. And it gives us an opportunity to do, or not do, but to engage in spiritual practice with each other and navigate various topics and how, you know, what is the spiritual undertone of this topic? Like, how can we thrive in our lives even in the midst of this unknown time? And it gives us an opportunity to meet people in our community, not just in Seattle, but all over. So I'm promoting most of that via Facebook and Instagram and YouTube.
That's great. And you talk about, let's talk about spiritual practice, because I mean, that's a familiar term for a science of mind and Center for Spiritual Living, but maybe not for others that could be viewing this. How do you define spiritual practice?
I think it's anything that allows you to connect with yourself deeper. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for some people, closing their eyes and sitting still is a challenge. For many of us, we know spiritual practice to be practices that connect us to maybe a higher power, to something greater. You might call that the universe or God, or for some it's nature. For some it's just sitting with mindfulness and being mindful and aware, just aware. And so I would say for many, spiritual practice can look like meditation, it can look like journaling, it could look like hiking. For some, I know I have a dear colleague who loves to walk cemeteries as her spiritual practice to connect with, you know, the eternality of life. Coloring, some people love to color. Mandalas could be your spiritual practice. It's anything that allows you to be present in the moment that brings you back to a place of center and alignment.
Yes, and that's so needed. I mean, I find myself, the most important thing is for me to get grounded and centered. And I know, remember the first couple of weeks, you know, there was just so much anxiety and uncertainty and going through so many emotions, and the grief that it was really compounded as very collective grief. And then I found myself getting more centered with it, being more comfortable with my lifestyle and what it changed to, a comfortable strategy for what I go through my day. And now that I've done that, I'm almost finally like, oh wow, I'm getting a little bored of this. I'm kind of doing the same thing every day. And you know, I need to spice it up a little bit. But the important thing was to feel grounded and centered, and that's worked pretty well. And yet then one day it'll hit me, you know, just the grief again or all the feelings. And you know, I go to that deep, kind of deep feeling place, and or talk to friends who are going through it. And some people just need to have a cry. I mean, I had a friend recently who, it just came out, you know, and to not hold back with our feelings is so important, to really, because it's really an overwhelm of feelings. There's just so much going on. And you've been talking to a lot of people. So what, how are you dealing with this personally, you know, on a personal level, to take care of yourself?
So I think that there are various levels, as you said, of how people are coping and what our various coping mechanisms are. And I think it also makes a difference for those who have actually had loss, the economic loss of a job. So many people are out of work, the uncertainty of that, and also the survivalistic tendencies that we are all having right now. I think, as you said, it's been like a collective grief for many. And I recognize myself going through also the stages of grief, of like initial shock of like, no, this isn't happening. I'm in denial. Like, this can't be happening. And then noticing how I got angry about the fact that I had to stay inside, or I can't travel and all of these things. And then I went through the bargaining of, okay, well, if I just stay inside for 30 days, can I come out? You know, will I be able to come out into the world? And then there finally came, as you just noted, this acceptance almost of, okay, this is how it is, even though it feels like Groundhog Day every day. Like, I feel like it's a Tuesday every day. And I don't know.
Your description.
I'm like, what day is it?
Yeah. Every day is Saturday is what we're saying.
Right. And so I feel like what it's doing, at least for me, is it's forcing me to be more present in just the moment. Mm-hmm. I start thinking about, oh my gosh, when is it over? When are they going to let us out? Or, you know, it tends to create anxiety and more stress. And I think what people oftentimes don't understand is that the correlation of stress with illness is so high.
Yeah, right.
So if we can't, even throughout our day, take moments to just breathe, or moments to just pause and to say, you know what, there's something unfolding here and I don't know what it is yet, but I'm going to be present with the moment I have, because it could change. As we know, as we're witnessing, it's changing like every day, right? Right. And so for me, it's what has helped me is creating structure in my day. I think that helps people because they feel like a sense of control, like, oh, I can control different aspects of my day. I make sure to eat well. And that's kind of hard for a lot of us because we, like we are saying, you know, when you're stressed out, we tend to eat, overeat or overdrink or whatever it is. And so I'm focused on eating well. I try to get outside and take walks where I can in my neighborhood. You know, I know some parks are closed. But the thing too, that I think is probably the most challenging, other than the obvious uncertainties and fear, is it's bringing up emotions and things that I might have oppressed or put aside and said, oh, I'm not going to deal with that right now. So it's giving me an opportunity. So I see this from a spiritual perspective, more of it's giving us an opportunity to pause, to take a breath, to reevaluate, you know, what's important, what really matters. Because I have a feeling that when this is, you know, when we're on the other side of this or it's gradually unfolding, that the things we thought we needed might be different.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah, I think it's a real opportunity to look at what's important in your life. And we're making a lot of connections. I mean, you know, 10 years ago, I wasn't on Zoom.
Right.
And so having this technology has been a gift that we can connect. Just think about it back in the day where, well, I guess we'd be phoning people, but there's something about seeing people even on a screen that's helpful and just making those connections.
Yeah.
And I like what you bring up about just, you know, it puts us in a place of having to be in the presence now, you know, we're just present to ourselves and what we're feeling. And that's hard for some people. I mean, that can, you know, it can really push people on the edge of, you know, they don't want to deal with this. And yet it's kind of putting us in a position where an opportunity, let's look at it as an opportunity.
Yes.
to look at our things in our life that aren't working. Mm-hmm. And what we might change going forward, coming out of this. I'm curious what you think, even a society level or a culture level, what changes you might see coming out. I mean, it's kind of hard to predict, but I think we all kind of have a hope that changes could happen, very positive changes.
Yeah. I mean, well, first of all, we look at the very obvious change, which is our climate. I mean, what's happening to the earth, the earth is like, ah, oh, thank you. You're giving me a little moment to breathe as well. It's replenishing itself. And I think it's such a great metaphor, you know, for life, of when we stopped with all the pollution and everything and being outside and constant, the earth is, you know, showing us from a macro standpoint of what's possible. I also would hope that people are a bit kinder.
Yes.
I mean, I recognize, I've talked to many friends in other countries and they're all on lockdown and they're all in various degrees of lockdown. And it's fascinating because it really brings our humanity to the forefront. And something someone shared with me recently that I loved so much, I wasn't alive at the time, but they shared that their grandmother, you know, lived through the Spanish influenza, the Great Depression, and World War One or Two, I forget, or maybe both, I don't remember, but it was,
yeah,
and she was reflecting on the perspective of how her grandmother used to keep everything and save things like toilet paper, and they always thought it was so funny as a child, but now she has this perspective of, wow, how privileged are we to live in a society with such great technology and all of the things the young generations have at our fingertips, to now think of what they must have, you know, lived through. And I feel that this is such a big opportunity for us to be kinder, to be more compassionate, an interconnected world. I mean, from a spiritual perspective, I think about it as far as the evolution of consciousness and how we have been saying, all of the light workers and cultural creatives over time have been saying, we need to evolve consciousness so that we're uplifting vibrationally the planet to a world that could ultimately work for all people. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that unless certain structures and systems fall away. So
right. And that'll be interesting to see what systems change or fall away. We're so ingrained in the familiar and, you know, how corporations work, how politics work. But it's really showing what is not working well. I mean, if you look at our medical system and if you look at the disparity between the poor and the rich, and the poorer people are getting hit a lot harder. I mean, the numbers are there showing it. It's just in our face.
Yeah, the disenfranchised people of color. I mean, it's across the board showing us class, status, economic, all of it.
So that may be a real positive of coming out of this, that we actually do make concrete changes that that allows everybody to have the same rights and privilege of good health, medical care, income, all that, and can live a good life. And so, you know, and we're pretty privileged in, you know, how we can, many of us are very, we can really see our privilege of being able to stay in our home and work at home or not have to work, where it's a lot of the people of color are out there in the service jobs having to work and putting themselves at risk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's happening across the board. I think it's, as a minister, as a spiritual leader, there's often the rub there of that question that always gets brought up of, well, what about the loss and the death and the struggle and the experience? And it's a moment for me to not bypass. I don't spiritually bypass what people, the conditions of the world, of what people are genuinely going through. But I also can simultaneously hold a greater vision for what I think is possible of what can happen. And that's where it gets a little tricky with folks who are living in the condition of their hardship, you know? And again, I have the privilege to be able to even say that and not having to have to experience that right now, even though I believe deep down that this is part of evolution. You know, it's part of a grander and greater narrative that I don't think we have even breached the surface yet. And in a way that seems really exciting to me. And I don't know what it is, but.
Yes, that's true. I mean, there is the fear of that unknown, and yet there is that excitement of, oh, look at the potential of the evolution of humankind and what we can become coming out of this. I always think things happen for a reason, and there's going to be many gifts out of this. Mm-hmm. And we shall see.
I mean, we may not be touching each other as much, like shaking hands, which is interesting. You know, people have been doing the namaste. And I often wonder, like at restaurants, you know, are we all going to have to be wearing gloves? And it's fascinating, really.
Yeah, there will be changes. And I heard on the radio, I think it was somebody in California saying, well, you may go to a restaurant, but you may be wearing a mask. Your waiters may be wearing a glove and mask, and you may have to have a throwaway menu, and things will be different. We won't be shaking hands and hugging. And yet with that, maybe comes some more respect for, you know, everyone's personal space and safety. And I don't know, it's going to be different for sure. I know we're all thinking, oh, we can't wait to get back together and hug my friends. And
right.
I wonder when we'll really feel safe to do that.
Yeah. Well, and it really puts the whole thing in perspective too, for us, that how important contact and human touch are. Mm-hmm. You know, I know for me, being here living alone and not, you know, when I was in the Bay Area, I had a roommate. And so I at least had some presence and energy around, but having nobody, like I haven't actually had a hug and I don't even know how long, right? It's been 40 something days that we've been isolation. So I look at my family in Colorado and I think, well, they're all under one roof. I don't want to be with all of them under one roof for this entire quarantine. So, you know, it's all perspective, right?
Right. Yeah. Everybody has their own journey in this. I have a neighbor with two kids and, you know, what was it, Friday? She's in the car talking, you know, getting to a private moment meant talking to a friend on the phone in the car, you know, cause you got two little ones, a husband working at home in the bedroom. And sometimes both parents are working and having to deal with little kids at home. And so everybody is having their own experience, and yet we're all living it collectively, and yet it's individual. And I feel for the people who are alone, but I know some people they're managing it quite well. There are some creative things you can do. I mean, even just sit in a park 10 feet away and chat, or, right. You know, there are some.
Yeah. Well, and I also think that it's, people say they're bored, and I have never been busier. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I was like, there was this technological boom or something, but you know, all of us having to learn a new skill, you know, we're learning, it's a learning curve to learn new technology of ways to connect even online with folks. And I'm realizing that I'm, like I said, keeping some structure in my day, I think has helped me. And then when I start to freak out or I just have a bad day, I just say, you know what, I'm going to be kind to myself today, and I'm going to be a little more gentle, and I'm just going to let the emotions, I'm just going to call them what they are today. You know, just naming the emotion actually helps, and even breathing, you know, taking some time to breathe and okay, today wasn't the best day and tomorrow will be better.
Yes, yes. And we can go outside and walk. I mean, we're supposed to walk in our neighborhoods, but I think that's important to breathe fresh air. And I go out in my garden, and yeah, I do have a structure. Like I said, I'm starting to get, it's not that I'm bored with it. I just really, oh, it's sort of repetitive, but one main thing, and I can change that. That's up to me. I can change that. But the one main thing is to feel like I've done one thing that day. I can go to bed that night feeling, okay, I did this, whether it was planting a row of seeds or if it was baking a pie or cookies or something, it was accomplishing something and not letting the day feel like the day has gone to waste. And everybody says, well, we have this opportunity now to really look at our lives or look at things that what's really important or look at our issues that we're facing. We talked about, here's an opportunity to do it. And do we want to slide by this? You know, do we want to come out of this in 6 months and look back at, oh, what did I do with all that time?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I also think, and I'm not a psychologist, but I do think that there must be some psychological effects of something like this with people. It affects our psyche of like, how do we, because when you're grieving, David Kessler, who is like an author who talks a lot about grief, he was speaking about how there's a sixth stage of grief, and it is finding meaning. Mm-hmm. That we want to find meaning in the midst of the unknown, and because we are all kind of in this limbo, we don't know. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult to find meaning, and so what that does to the narrative and our natural ability to want to create a story, because the brain wants a beginning, a middle, and an end. Right? We want to know the destination. And because we don't know that, I think that the anxiety levels are higher. I mean, people's depression is higher. You can imagine people who are in maybe domestic abusive relationships, right. Worse. People who don't have the privilege in other countries to be apart from one another because they're in such confined spaces. I mean, there's so many psychological effects too. And I think that it just, for some of us, or maybe all of us, it takes time for us to adapt to, well, what is this? Because it's not a norm. It's not normal, you know? And it's happening so fast.
Yeah, so fast, and it's all over the world.
Yeah.
And interesting, you know, because, I mean, January I was in Cambodia, and we flew home when just was becoming aware, and maybe a few days before in China. And had to be in Hong Kong at an airport and have 12 hours of wearing a mask, and in the Hong Kong airport for 24 hours and almost 12 hours in Hong Kong, the airport. And coming home, and you know, February was just fine. There was no talk of any worry, concern, and yet that information was out there. Wow. And February was a good month. I was healthy, but boom, March 1st, you know, I came down. I had a sore throat for a whole month. And I'm still struggling with some symptoms that I'm sure stress doesn't help and anxiety doesn't help, but I'm taking care of myself and getting the rest I need. I think that's probably one of the most important things with this anxiety level and stress is to make sure you get enough sleep. Yes. And eat well. And I've been eating very well. So,
yeah. And many of us have been cooking more than we ever did in our whole lives.
Yeah, and I cook, and I've been working at home since 2003, so I do cook, but I cook every night. I kind of think about, what do I want to do tonight versus, you know, 5 o'clock, like, well, what's in the fridge?
Right.
So it's kind of a creative outlet too, because what do we have to do? Well, eat, sleep, read,
right,
watch movies, and yes.
Netflix.
That's what's going on. But yeah, but it is such an interesting time. And I'm sure we're going to be reflecting back on this of what it really means to us as a, well, in the U.S. is our culture, but worldwide culture, just for people in general, you know, will this have an impact on wars? It seems like you're not even hearing any wars. And it's almost like, I know they've asked some of the countries who are at war to stop during this time so everybody can work on the number of people that are getting the virus in their countries. And so there's hardly, you don't see anything in the news about war, which we are used to seeing all the time. And I think we're all, there's the hope that that will change and we'll come out of this and realize that, you know, the need for the world, just like the need for the world to come together and heal this pandemic, but the need to stop the wars.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, I just feel like it still comes back to an awareness that the possibility here is that people become more conscious and more aware, and that right. be on a spectrum of what level of awareness, but it's almost forcing us to, you know, this is the first month since I don't even know what year they haven't had a mass school shooting in March.
Right.
In our country. So
yes, the schools are closed.
Right. It's going to be a new world. And I know I have to know, and I could maybe do some research on this, but I'm sure there were books written about this, you know?
There's the movie. I mean, people, and my husband is very much into movies, and he brings up movies that, you know, talk about this, you know, that came out years ago. Mm-hmm. And I heard there was a book, and I can't remember the names of books and stuff, but that talked about a pandemic, and mm-hmm. And the book wasn't published, and now it's like, you know, now it's getting published.
Right.
Because they thought it was too far-fetched. This is, you know, crazy. Yeah. We're not going to publish this book, and it's exactly happening, just as this yeah. book.
Well, think about it. I mean, if we look at this, like, again, from a spiritual perspective, that it's all one mind, it's all, I mean, the collective consciousness of thought, you know, of the narratives that people are telling, we're creating these stories in our lives, and these things are happening. I mean, look at the where technology has gone from the early 80s till now, you know, the power of thought, you know, so it's up to those people, I think, too, who are really conscious and really want to see a better world, to continue putting their attention there, because we know that where you put your attention is what's going to grow. What you are in resistance to is going to keep persisting, right? And so I think it's like we've been saying, it's a gift somehow. And for some, that seems like a very callous thing to say. And I still hold that vision, even though I know that there's destruction and loss and death and sadness, you know?
Right. And you mentioned in the beginning that the, what is that term? It's about awareness and the collective consciousness of the, it came out in a book like 20 some years ago. You mentioned, I'm sorry, blanket out on the term. But so there's been a movement of consciousness for many people, and we're kind of waiting, you know, that's growing, but it's still, it's not everybody. And it's almost black and white of those that are and those that aren't, that this may cause it to expand, that more people will become aware, more people will become conscious because they're forced to, mm-hmm. almost. You know, to really look at where we're at as a culture, as a society, and how we take care of our people. And so cultural creatives, that was the word, you know, that there are cultural creatives out there. And I think that very well could expand. Mm-hmm. And it's like the 100th monkey. The more people that are aware of that, it just exponentially grows. And so we may come out of this in a whole new way of being. I think there's hope for that, and yet there's also, well, will it, the unknown.
I know. Well, and you know, some of my great teachers have always said that the unknown is that void where infinite possibilities remain. So it's a place of creativity, it's a place of possibility. And so rather than the doomsday, you know, thinking, or, you know, the separation, you know, thinking that many people can get themselves into, we go down a rabbit hole of fear and scarcity and lack, and we get it nonstop on the media, you know, it's just this crisis after crisis. When our attention goes there, then it naturally creates that, you know, it creates that in the body temple, it creates that in our direct experience. And so, you know, I just continue to focus my attention on the world I want to see. You know, I mean, that's been for a really long time, but I think that the more people who are doing that I mean, we've seen the studies out there of just distance healing, of prayer healing, of the power of people coming right. together for global meditation or global prayer. We've seen the impact that this is having on people in prisons, you know, who are meditating and incarcerated, you know, the difference in crime and all sorts of things. And so we have a moment here. you know, like you said, to not pass by and to really take advantage of this moment right now.
So. Yes. And as a role for you as a minister of, you know, I imagine you see yourself as one of those people that is guiding people to help them through that.
I do. Yeah. And I mean, admittedly, of course, I'm human too. So I have the human emotions like everyone else, but I think I'm learning to get to a centered place a lot quicker. And I'm learning to come back to what I know in my heart of hearts to be true with a capital T, like at just absolutely know this. And so, yeah, I'm holding that for a lot of other people. And, you know, when this first started, I had just moved here. So I was still trying to settle in, and I felt like I was holding that space for so many people who were freaking out that my own freak out couldn't hold it all, you know? And now it's allowed me to just come up to rise up, you know, to be that, and to give myself permission to be human and gentle and kind with ourselves. I think for many of us, we don't just allow ourselves to, it's okay to break down, you know, it's okay to feel whatever you're feeling. And, because that's all God too. That's all on the spiritual, what is it? It's not linear, I guess is what I mean.
Right. You know?
I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. Yes. Well, there's so much going on, and it's just easy to get into overwhelm. And I think it's important to slow down. I mean, I found myself, so I'm doing all these video calls, I'm finding myself busier in a way than I want to be. because I still want to garden and still cook. And then I'm doing these Zoom calls, and it's like, wow, my schedule is slow down. This is the time to slow down. And so I was thinking, because I'm doing one a day this week, and next week I think I'll just do three. And, you know, just to pay attention to yourself of what working this time, because we are stressed. There is, even if we're grounded and centered, there's still an anxiety level. There's still this unknown. There's still, you know, how do you take care of yourself and make sure that you don't come down with the COVID-19? Right. And so it's important to I think, go slower with yourself. You know, have a calm presence and a calm, an easy schedule, you know, even though, you know, the structure is important, but to not overdo mm-hmm. is important this time, because it'll add to the anxiety and add to then, you know, getting sick. I mean, there's other flus going around. There's other colds going around.
Yeah, I did know that. Well, and I'm just contemplating certain questions, like, you know, what is it that I want to become at this time? Like what qualities of life do I want to inhabit and embody more now that I wasn't before? Maybe there's some stuff I need to let go of. You know, maybe there's, I don't know, relationship, a job. I mean, whatever it is, like, you know, I think about how I left a job in the Bay Area that I hated. And I came here. It wasn't my ministerial job. It was a tech job. And come to find out, that entire company went under. So they ended up laying off everyone there. And I think to myself, you know, I could have been laid off, but that was a blessing for me. It was a blessing that, you know, that I left it. And so I think this time can also be about asking questions like, where do I really want my focus to be right now? Like you said, do I want to slow down? What's most important? You know, what can I let go of right now that's not serving my life that I thought I had to be doing?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. There's lots of questions, and I'm in semi-retirement, but it's what, you know, I'm 70, but my father lived to 100. So what am I going to do the last third of my life? There's lots to do still. And mm-hmm. what is on my plate? That's actually brought me to do these, bring back my radio show and interview people with the opportunity of YouTube and having the video with that is new. And yeah. So I took that opportunity, but still it's on my plate. And also, cause we just got our check from the government came in last night. And so they're starting to come, and I'm like, what do I want to do with that money that might help help somebody? Where do I want to focus on? You know, there's so many needs. There's the homeless. There's a lack of food, the food banks. There's so many places that those of us who can afford it, that feels like a bonus check, what can we do to help? And I'm looking at that. And where do I want to put my energy towards? It's always about women and the woman of wisdom and I'm part of Amazing Grace and the global service team of, you know, supporting a school in Cambodia and Kenya. But I also feel there's something more, like, what is my next, you know, to take that time, like you said, you know, like, you know, meditate and just sit with myself of what is the next thing for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's not just going back to work. It's more vocation of, mm-hmm. of what's important to me and where do I put my energies. It doesn't have to, it's not a paying thing. I got to go worry about, go back and, you know, find a job that's going to pay me. But mm-hmm. What's my next mission? Mm-hmm. And it's what do I see?
Yeah, it's like a retreat. Like you're on retreat from some people of time out.
Yeah, which is why I say, you know, I need to slow down a little bit so I can have that retreat. And not that it's not like it's fast paced. Spring is kind of a slower time for me, but yeah, it's an opportunity to really take a look at everything in your life and not make, not, it's not a time to make concrete changes or actually think, I'm going to do this when we come out of this, I'm going to do this. Right. But sit with it, what feels right, and to take your time looking at what's important and where you want to put your energies and to play with that, because we have this time, because we can't go out there to do it yet, unless you're doing it online. But we're overwhelmed with the online things too.
I know.
You know, I find the resistance of signing up for online, you know, you get so many offers, and it's also discerning what is a good one to take of a seminar, a free seminar, you know, and it's still the same thing of discerning what's right for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, but think about the abundance too of the offerings. I mean, I, even starting my own thing, you know, I have wanted to have an online ministry for a long time, and now I have no excuse. Like, I can't argue for my limitations. Like, no, I got this going on or this going on. It's like, well, Savannah, you better just jump on the train, because you've been saying this a really long time.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Discernment, I like that. Discernment is good, because right now things are, we're being shown impermanence.
Mm.
You know, things are changing constantly. And you know, maybe some Buddhist teachings would help us right now, you know, of the laws of impermanence and attachment or detachment.
Yeah, detachment. Yes. Oh, there's so many opportunities and so many things, so many things that we could look at and pay attention to for ourselves and the world and as we sit in the unknown, which we'll probably be sitting in for a while. I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah.
So, well, it was great talking to you, and thank you for your words of wisdom.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah, great. So it will be up on YouTube. Everybody can watch it there. And I look forward to, hopefully seeing you in the future and actually sitting in church. But I enjoy seeing you on, luckily we can have church online and in video. And that's a blessing. It's a great way I can have church in bed with my tea.
I love it.
And that's one positive change for a while, as much as we miss being in person with people.
For sure. Okay. I look forward to it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. And stay well.
I will. You too.